Hello and welcome to another episode of the E-commerce Money Map podcast. We've got a special guest for us today. His name is Gen Furukawa. Gen, welcome, man.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Great to have you and looking forward to spending time with you and really getting your insights and wisdom. Very quickly, Gen is the co-founder of Prehook. It's a leading quiz platform for Shopify merchants. Gen's been in e-commerce for 10 plus years. He was part of the founding team and vice president of marketing at Jungle Scout. It's the leading software for Amazon sellers. And you're probably wondering what Prehook is. Prehook is for high growth Shopify merchants who want to sell more, accelerate list growth, and capture zero party data with quizzes. Super excited. Gen, give us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, sure. So right now, co-founder of Prehook, as you mentioned, and the story, I guess, of Prehook goes back to 2015, where I was part of the founding team of Jungle Scout. So Jungle Scout, basically, we started it as a Chrome extension to help Amazon merchants understand like where there's data, where there's demand, where there's opportunity to sell on Amazon. And two of my co-founders at Prehook were also part of the founding team there. And so we have a lot of experience working together, very good friends. They live in Vancouver. And we decided that we did want to do something on our own, build our own product software in the e-commerce enablement space, basically a software as a service. But instead of Amazon, we wanted to focus on Shopify. And the differences and the challenges that an Amazon seller faces are very different than what a Shopify seller is. Namely, that an Amazon merchant will build a listing. They'll understand what their core customer is and what they're looking for. So they're building a listing that is optimized to appear in the search engine, to address the specific objections, questions, and all within a very uniform format of an Amazon product listing. The Shopify merchant has different challenges because they can have a wide variety of customers to their store, and it's a little bit unclear of what that customer is shopping for. So even if it's something like as simple as a multivitamin, that person could be buying a multivitamin to improve their immune system or to improve their energy or strengthen bones or any number of issues or challenges. But with just a few questions, the merchant can get a far better understanding of what I'm trying to solve for, what the customer's looking for, what information I can put forward, and how I can best position and merchandise the product and the brand to improve the likelihood of them buying it. So we did a fair amount of research. We started building in kind of like early part of 2020, right when the pandemic was hitting. We were locked in our houses in lockdown, but we were remote there in Vancouver. I'm in Austin, Texas. And after doing a fair amount of research, speaking with merchants, like, is this a problem? Is this something that you would use? And what are you currently using? Turned out a lot of brands were using Typeform. So Typeform is a great product. It's not meant for e-commerce in the sense that it doesn't tie closely with your Shopify inventory or other e-commerce tools like Klaviyo, for example. So we've been live and working on it for about 2 years now. Hundreds of merchants found value in it, and we've tremendously helped with conversion rate and just ROI on getting more out of the customer. And when we talk about the customer data element of it, that's something that we didn't expect when we started building the tool Prehook. And more specifically, what I'm referring to are some of these changes that Apple has rolled out, namely iOS 14.5. So that's an update that Apple has rolled out to basically protect consumer privacy and consumer data. And effectively, what it does is it prevents apps like Facebook from tracking your actions and behaviors across sites. So ultimately, what that means is if I'm running ads to try to target you in Jacksonville, Florida, and you like maybe tennis or golf, it's harder to pinpoint that and to pinpoint you. And therefore, the targeting is far more broad. Cost per clicks have increased. Cost per acquisition has increased. And so basically, that means that it's more important for a brand to build a direct relationship with a customer, namely via capturing an email or capturing a phone number so you can SMS, and then understanding what it is that you're going to be communicating with them in terms of your brand or your product or their own challenges.
Yeah, that was lovely. A great context you've created. I could totally relate to what you were saying in terms of, you know, building that information, that data, right? And in a conversation that you and I had, you know, the word zero-party data came out. What is zero-party data and why is it important?
Yeah, So zero party data is a relatively new term from maybe just a few years ago. I think it was Forrester or Salesforce that came up with it, but it's basically data that or information that a customer proactively and willingly shares with you. So that could be like in the form of a questionnaire or a survey or a quiz, or even, you know, a support chat or sales conversation. Now contrast that with first party data. So first party data is data that is captured, but captured passively. And this could be stuff like what your website activity is, pages that you viewed on a website, or actions that you did, you added to cart, you bought, so you understand their transactional history. So from there, you can assume, okay, this person has bought this product, they've spent this much, maybe based on their shipping location, they're based in this geography. And then it's also actions like how they interact with your emails. The challenge though, the second party data, of course, is data that is being repackaged and sold, and third party data is aggregated secondary data that, you know, Facebook might purchase, for example. But as you're moving further and further away from zero party data, which is actively shared, you are getting muddier insights, dirtier data, so to speak. So you don't know when that survey or when that data was captured. You don't know who it was. So there's gaps in it where, as a result, you have to make assumptions. So if you bought this moisturizer, I might assume that you have dry skin or you're trying to, but I don't know the why. And that's where zero party data can be really helpful, because it shares an insight into why you're purchasing this product, because I'm telling you explicitly, you know, whatever it is, whatever questions you're asking me, I'm sharing directly with you.
Wow. Okay. You got my attention. How do you use it to personalize experience across channels?
Yeah. So let's just start maybe with like one channel. And let's just say like email. Email is by and large like one of the most important channels for e-commerce brands. You might see stats of like, say, 20, 25, 30% of all online revenue should come from email. So how can you personalize it? You can do any number of things. I think probably the easiest, so a lot of our customers use Klaviyo. Klaviyo and Omnisend are kind of like two of the premier email service providers. You can do email and SMS. It might be something like just kind of like dynamically inserting what's called a custom property or an attribute about somebody. So, hey, I'm asking you what size shirt and what color shirts you like. I can say, okay, Salim, you like red shirts in, you know, checkered patterns. So you can kind of dynamically ensure that I might like blue shirts with, you know, for tennis. And so basically to personalize it, you can just add a placeholder in the emails. Hey, because you like, you know, fill in the blank and fill in the blank. And therefore on the receiving end, even though it's coming from the same campaign or the same automation, you're getting a completely different email than I'm getting, because it is taking the customer data that's in our contact profile and inserting it dynamically so that we're getting different emails.
No, I was going to say it's based on where I click. Like, you know, if I received an email and I've got an option of doing the red, the example you provided, or blue, say, am I clicking on the red? And regardless of where I land, but you've now got that information that I like, I prefer red over blue. Is that kind of how you're tracking the data?
Yeah. So that data basically comes from the quiz that you take. And so our product, for example, and most quiz products would integrate with different tools. And based on that integration, the quiz responses go directly to you. So you are adding your email at the end of the quiz. And with that email is attached all of these different attributes and custom properties that you answered in the quiz. And that in itself is the zero party data. That's where we understand what your goals are, what your challenges, what your preferences, what your habits, anything that we're asking in the quiz and that you answer will be in your Klaviyo profile or your Omnisend profile or your Postscript profile. And that's the data that you're going to be using to understand, okay, like how can we segment what Salim's goals are, or how can we tailor messages or offers, campaigns to be more relevant to you? Or if, you know, if you are, well, I don't know, like, let's say like you Dick's Sporting Goods, for example, like huge array of inventory. And, but let's say you like tennis, you're wearing a tennis shirt. Now, if we're sending out a basketball campaign, I might exclude you because you have not explicitly raised your hand. Like, I'm interested in tennis and golf exclusively. And so that's, as an example, how you might be creating segments based on this zero party data.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Really relevant marketing, right? Sending messages that are relevant to the receiver. Give us some examples of how the best brands are using zero-party data to create a defensible marketing strategy.
Yeah, great question. So one example that I really like is a brand called T-Lixer. So T-Lixer is an adaptogen brand. So adaptogens, I'm not an expert on it, but I think you would define it as basically like natural plants and herbs, mushrooms to address health issues. And so the co-founder, Daniel, he was a musician traveling a lot. He had challenges with these, anxiety, fatigue, sleeplessness. I identified that this was a homeopathic remedy. And it was a great solution. It's been around for a very long time. The only challenge is modern consumers aren't familiar with adaptogens. Maybe the biggest brand in this space is Four Sigmatic, where you're basically like taking different mushrooms and using it to address different health needs. So there was the issue of consumer education, but then there was the issue of product recommendations, because I, as a consumer, don't know which product is best for me. It takes a lot of time to do the research, but I do know what problem I'm trying to solve. So in the quiz, they identify what problems are you trying to solve? What is your lifestyle like? What do you like to take with it? You know, what form do you like to take this? How can we get in touch with you to share more? And so the quiz has been really helpful in terms of improving the customer education, helping them understand where there might be gaps or demand in the market, and then also how to pair this customer with the right product. And so ultimately, the results speak for themselves in terms of lead gen. So, you know, they, like many brands, they have a general opt-in, and people who take the quiz have a 2x likelihood of opting in. So they're able to improve their lead gen by 2x, which would reduce their cost per lead and reduce their cost per acquisition. And then also, they were seeing a 5x revenue per email recipient. So what that means is they were basically able to create better segments, offer better products, and really nurture the consumer on an individual basis. And so that was really a great example of how capturing the customer data has improved their ability to merchandise and sell their product. The last thing that I do want to say is, why are they doing well with it? And I think it's because they are using it really as a top of funnel lead gen magnet or top of funnel tool, which means that it is on their hero image, on their homepage. It's on multiple places on their homepage. They have an exit intent pop-up. So once a customer is about to leave the website, say, hey, wait, having trouble finding what you want? Take the quiz. And they're sending paid traffic to it. They even send it to their existing email list, not because they're trying to get emails, because obviously they already have their email, but they're trying to enrich that customer profile with more data so that they can improve the targeting of the emails that they do send.
What a great example. What a great case study here. And you're really utilizing it at the top of the funnel, which I think would make a lot of sense, right? Because then all the marketing that follows after the top of the funnel is very targeted. It's very segmented. It's very relevant to the person that's receiving it.
Totally. I mean, you know, like, I think that's where the versatility of a quiz is really exciting, that it is a top of funnel tool, but it's also a bottom of funnel tool. Like, if you think about how subscription e-commerce brands, say Stitch Fix or Wink, which is subscription wines, or Rockets of Awesome, subscription clothing, part of their onboarding is a quiz. And if you think about it, of course, they need a quiz, because things like clothing are very kind of like the basics are required in terms of size or types of clothing that you need, but then also the nuances of what I'm looking for, the preferences of like what style I like, because part of it is discovery. And you want to make sure that the boxes that you're sending are aligned with what I'm looking for, because ultimately these businesses make money based on what I decide to keep and buy. And then you can even go post-purchase, where customer data is really critical. And so that's kind of a post-purchase survey where brands might be asking, how did you hear about us? Or what do you think of the product? So this whole customer journey, kind of before the purchase at the top of funnel or after the purchase, learning about the attribution, how they heard about us or what the thoughts of the product are critical. And you can capture that at scale with a quiz.
Awesome. Man, what an insightful interview. Really enjoyed it, appreciated it. It's so fast-paced, but so full of wisdom and content rich. Two questions. again, what's the best way for folks to reach out to you? And then we'll finish up with final words of wisdom. So let's go with what's the best way for folks to reach out to you?
Yeah, email. Feel free to email me, Gen, that's G-E-N at prehook.com. Happy to answer any questions at a high level about the quiz or the product, you know, or if you want help building out the quiz, the types of questions that you can ask.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's generous. Cool. Awesome. Final words of wisdom before we finish off.
Yeah. Well, you know, depending on when this goes out, we have Black Friday, Cyber Monday coming up. You might hear like, okay, the best time to start building your list is right now. And I would agree with an asterisk that you need to not just have an email, but what else are you learning with that as you gather that lead? And I think even just a few data points, and you can start with what their challenges are and what their goals are critical and can be infinitely helpful in how you're sending the customer information about yourself, and then how you're able to establish yourself as an expert because you know what their challenges are and what their aspirational future self is. So you can really do wonders with that, just a few data points.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gen. Really appreciate you taking the time for this and sharing all your wisdom.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Money Map podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at ecommercemoneymap.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about the E-Commerce Accounting Hub, visit ecommerceaccountinghub.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the E-Commerce Money Map podcast.